Okay, let's turn to Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah 2, let's get a few verses. Anthony is going to read Nehemiah 2, 16 through 18. Our main verse. Eli read Genesis 3, 3. Nate, Nehemiah 2, 17. Alan, Ephesians 5, 25. And Trevor, you read Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. In the early years of my ministry, we moved. We made a lot of moves, including pioneering. We've moved 8 times in ministry, from pioneering, taking churches, going overseas, all different kinds of things. But my wife made an interesting comment one time. She said that only once out of those 8 moves did she also hear from God. So think about that. I actually moved internationally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 5, 6 out of 8 were international. So this wasn't like moving around the corner. So that's very interesting to me. She, only one of those, did she also hear from God and say, yes, that's what God told me too. But she was willing to move because she believed that I heard from God. So that's a very, very, that's important, that she wasn't fighting me on that. She was going along with the vision that God had given me. So the scripture that we're going to read is Nehemiah. The scripture has nothing to do with marriage at all, but it does have to do with the principle in any level of leadership, and that is you have to transmit the vision to whoever you're leading. You have to carry them along in vision with you if you're going to lead successfully. So I'm going to look this morning at transmitting vision, Nehemiah 2, 16 through 18.
And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. And I have not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also the words of the king had spoken to me, and they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands with the good word.
Okay, transmitting vision. Let's begin. Let's talk about derailing the vision. Our scripture shows us something, and that is vision. Well, first of all, let's define it. Quickly, vision is the ability to see. It's the ability to see beyond. And we often apply this as far as what God wants to happen in or through your life. And so Nehemiah's vision was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been destroyed. So our scripture shows us vision is always connected to other people. That is something that is very, very important. A foolish man thinks he's hot because he has a vision, and he doesn't care about other people. He ignores the connection. Often in disciples, you have a disciple who he's treating other people like a jerk. He's kicking people off left, right, and center. But, hey man, I got a destiny. I got a word. God spoke to me in conference, so he ignores the human dimension. any vision God has for you is only going to come to pass, or it will never come to pass, rather, if you ignore the human dimension. In Timothy, it lists 16 qualifications for ministry. 12 out of 16 have to do with relationships. Has to do with what people on your job, people in the church, think of you. I think 3 of them have to do with family relationships. And so this is very important. So vision is absolutely connected with other people. Now, this most often plays out in marriage. And that's what we're going to concentrate to today. So, very common problem that you see in disciples is a young man, he gets a vision, he is stirred, but he fails to bring his wife along in the vision. And that will always cause problems. Think about 2 famous examples, Adam and Eve. God spoke to Adam. It was Adam's job to communicate to his wife what God told him. And he had to do so clearly. And then we read in Genesis 3:3, he apparently did not do this well. Genesis 3:3.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Okay. When the serpent comes and speaks to her, she speaks something that is inaccurate. God said we're not supposed to touch it. Well, that's not what he said at all. So Adam, somehow, he did not. This was something that is going to determine their whole life. And he didn't take the time to clearly communicate what God had said. Another famous story in the Bible is David and Michal. And strange in the Bible, it looks like Michael, which is probably fitting this week in Supreme Court decision. But a little pastoral humor there. Okay. 2 Samuel 6 tells the story of David, who is so excited at what God is doing. We're going to get the ark back. Man, he makes this trip. He's sacrificed. He's dancing. He's having a great time. And the Bible says his wife, number one, who's not a part of this, she looks out at the exact same thing that is absolutely the thrill of his life. And the Bible says she despises David in her heart. So they're not on the same page. She has no interest in what he is excited about. That's a very common problem that you see in ministry. So, men make mistakes in relationships concerning vision. So, one mistake that men make sometimes is they assume that other people are more important than their wife. As long as pastor is happy with me, or as long as pastor's not ticked off at me, I don't care what you think, woman. That's a great mistake. Or you make a mistake if you assume, David probably assumed, because he's excited, his wife is going to be excited too. Just assume, well, of course you're excited. I'm excited. And she wasn't at all. That wasn't the way. Or one of the most common mistakes of disciples is they assume that their wife has to go along with the vision, as though she has no option in this. God spoke it, woman. I'm going places. Get in, get out, get run over. Well, that's just not going to work. So the problem is, if you fail to transmit the vision, if you fail to take your wife along with you in the vision, then it can derail your destiny. God can plan things, but a failure to take people along with you in the vision always is going to do damage. We see some practical consequences. Number one is that it opens our home up to unhealthy powers. David made his wife vulnerable to hell, to the powers of hell, to the devil, because he didn't transmit clearly what God had said. And so, in some of the things I said before, when you assume that other people are more important, or you just assume that your wife gets it because you do, or you assume that your wife has to go along with it, the problem is that this produces resentment. So we see in the call that wives who despise their husband, man, I'm winning souls, I'm doing a work for God, and the wife, she despises him. And it's not workable. Then you have people who are in the ministry. They actually make it, they are pastoring. And the husband has not changed his basic approach. It's still, you have to go along, other people are more important, et cetera, et cetera. So then her resentment is not only just with him. She winds up, one of the problems that I occasionally have to deal with is wives who are taking out their frustration on the congregation. They're upset. Mean women are no fun. Mean women who are the pastor's wives, that really is no fun for anybody. And so that just is not, that's not workable. They wind up resenting the ministry. They assume, I've preached in the past and tried to get a balance. Look, if your husband is neglecting you, making you feel bad, and this is in the name of the ministry, it's not the fault of the ministry. If it wasn't the ministry, it'll be golf, video games, computers, cars, you know, it'll be something else. That's in him. That's not the ministry's fault. But what happens is you get women, they despise the ministry. It's the ministry is, the ministry you're involved in, or the ministry as in pastoring, they resent that. So you open your home up to unhealthy powers. Number two, it stops the power of God. Very interesting. McCall, the Bible says that fruitfulness was stopped. And that is true. This is one of the problems. It's very difficult. When you're fighting the devil, it's really hard to have the blessing of God when your wife despises you, the people, the ministry, God himself. It's really tough to be blessed. So why? We outreach, but it's not working. Well, I don't think God's going to bless that despising spirit. Thirdly, it stops God's will. There are men that will never be chosen in discipleship because of this issue here. Because the home is a crucial factor. You can't ignore your wife. You can't ignore your marriage and somehow think, I got a destiny, I know how to preach, pastor. I practice and everything. There are men, they will never get chosen because God knows what's in them. Ministries that stay small, we've been discussing in breakfast, I can remember it was yesterday, the day before, why do we have small churches? Because we have small men. This is one of the things that makes you very small when you're not carrying people along with you in the ministry. And then, of course, you have men that have to leave the ministry. They're in ministry. They cover and cover and cover this for a long time, and finally there's an explosion of some kind, and they can't continue. So that's derailing the vision. Let's move on now to our scripture then. Because Nehemiah gives the antidote to some of that. As I said, this is not a marriage scripture in any way, shape, or form. But the principles are very profound. Nehemiah was a wise leader because he understood the human dimension. Book of Nehemiah chapter 1, God speaks to him. He is stirred, but this scripture says he gets it. I have to bring other people along with me in the vision. And so the scriptures that we had Anthony read out, verse 16 says he hadn't told them yet. He went and he looks it out. That's a whole other issue of leadership. Now when he meets with the people, Notice he does not just simply start by saying, folks, I heard from heaven. That's not how he starts. He starts by pointing out the problem. The gates are burned with fire. Right? And we are a reproach. He's causing them to feel that. Don't you feel that this is shameful that we should live like this vulnerably? And then, after pointing out the problem involving how are you affected by this, then he says, let me tell you about the good hand of my God upon me. And the people respond, let's build. That is wisdom. That's powerful wisdom in there. So, the wisdom is shown in one sense by what he didn't do. Nehemiah did not assume that everybody was going to get it because he got it. Because that's a common mistake. He didn't demand, I am El Jefe. El Pastor, you must listen to me. Right? That's not what he does. He doesn't demand that, that they're going to build. One of the things here that is a very simple lesson, he doesn't rush ahead of where the people are at. He is very cognizant. He's very aware, where are these people at? And so often we make mistakes right there. Instead, we assume, we demand, and we rush ahead of where our people or where our wife is. So, think about wisdom in transmitting vision to our wives. This is a basic thing. Number one, you have to communicate the vision. If God is telling you something, that should be something that you clearly communicate. You should not assume because you were powerfully impacted or stirred in a sermon that your wife was as well. She may or may not have been. Go back to what I told you in the beginning. I moved 8 times. Only once was my wife also hearing from God. But that didn't mean that we couldn't do it. So this is important. You have to communicate the vision. You have to clearly be able to say, this is what God is telling me. This is what God is stirring me for. Number two, you have to include your wife. That's a profound bit of wisdom for disciples. You have to make your wife feel like she's a part of what God is telling, what God is revealing to you about your future. Nehemiah 2:17.
Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach.
Okay, so this man understands people. He gets people skills. There's wisdom in this. When you get the piece of paper, you'll see that I've helpfully underlined. He includes them in the vision. Let me emphasize. You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste, its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. He does not come and say, God told me to build. Grab a shovel. No, he says. He says, this is what we are going to do together. So that's wisdom. In communicating vision to your wife, you have to communicate that she is a part of this. I need you. I can't do this without you. Number three, you shouldn't dismiss your wife's concerns. Women, you know, and obviously there are exceptions to every rule, but in the overall, women are, they're concerned with security. They worry about, like, how are we going to eat? You know, where are we going to live? There's practical questions. Men, often it's the adventure. Hey, let's go. What's going to happen? What about the kids? There's all kinds of factors. You should not dismiss your wife's concerns that she is unspiritual because she has any. That's not wise. That woman has the voice of hell speaking, worrying about where we're going to live. No, it's not. That's very normal. Number four, you may have to wait for the right time. Remember, I think in a sermon recently, I remember what I was preaching on, but I made the comment in passing that when God told me to go to South Africa, bad yawning. That when God told me to go to South Africa, it was incredibly clear to me. And so I immediately went in. I still remember it, the house we were living in, area of Melbourne, and it was so clear. I was in my office, and God spoke to me. I went in. Lisa was reading a book in the bedroom, and I went and told her, God just told me we're supposed to go to South Africa. And so she looked up afterwards. She said she doesn't even remember this, but I remember it very clearly. And she just said, Greg, you know, we haven't been here that long, and we hadn't. We'd only been maybe 6 months. I don't remember where we were. And she just said, I just don't think now would be a good time. And so, yeah, okay. So I guess she wasn't into it now. She wasn't rejecting it. She just said, not now. And that, and of course, it bore witness because we hadn't been there long and we'd taken over a church that was struggling, etc., etc. So the point was, it wasn't time now. In our verse, in verse 16, the Bible says, as of yet, he hadn't told anybody anything. So that may mean that God, that may work out in different ways. God may speak to you something that you don't need to blurt out in the car on the way home. You may know that she's not ready to hear that. That may be one version of it. Or it may be that you are speaking and just saying that is for the future, and we're going to leave that with God. Or if you're getting some kind of resistance, you don't make it a matter of pride. Bless God, woman, God spoke to me. Are you resisting? Are you the devil? You know, there's a lot of ways you can do this bad. Number five, you have to be aware of your wife's need. Ephesians 5:25.
Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Okay. Listen to me, gentlemen. I'm going to give you a little bit of wisdom here that will help you. It will save you a lot of trouble, or maybe show you a way out of trouble right now. In this scripture, God says for husbands to love their wives. So, what is the number one need of a woman? And he calls it love. Very simply, it is value. I'm simplifying this. How do you love? Of course I love her. No, the Bible says you are to do this. You are to show this. To demonstrate. You are to make her feel loved or feel valued. So, let me give you a common concern from a wife's perspective. Your wife, it's very normal that she will be concerned that the vision God gave you or the ministry is going to cause you to forget her. That you're not going to value her. You're going to be so excited about, we got five people saved. You know, there is an element to where your wife doesn't actually care who gets saved. What she wants to know is, do you love me? Do you value me? That's in her. That's not necessarily from hell. It can be exploited by the devil. So, that means in ministry you are going to have to balance her needs and the ministry. It can't be ministry. What? Who are you? Oh yeah, you're that lady that rides home with me after church. You have to balance this. You're going to have to, in some way, make time for your wife. This is your time. I'm spending time with you. It's not you and 50 other people. Making time to talk to her. Making time to, or letting her know that you are thinking of her. Even in the midst. So now, I already can anticipate, because I've been asked this question all over. Well, how do you balance? How do you balance wife and ministry? Well, that's something you have to learn, gentlemen. You gotta, every one of you here, you're working a job. You got a wife. Some of you have kids. And the ministry. And you have to learn. They must be balanced. So, it's not percentages. I can't tell you how many minutes and seconds per day will make your wife happy. It's not that easy. But listen, you have to do this, and you have to recognize her need. You have to recognize critical seasons. There will be times when she'll need you more than at other times. Maybe that's what she's going through. Maybe she's being assaulted in her mind. Maybe she's feeling neglected, whatever. And you have to recognize that. You know, I joke about this. If you wake up at night and you open your eyes and your wife is standing over you with a knife, probably you need to pay more attention to her. That would be a good sign. But in some way, so you have to pastor your wife as well as other people. Pastor means shepherd, and the Bible pictures is a shepherd is one who leads, but a shepherd is one who cares for. In the scripture that Alon read, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. I don't think there's any husband, if I said, do you love your wife? There's probably not too many men that would honestly say no, even if they didn't feel it. They wouldn't say it. So, I'm talking about a feeling here. This is talking about, I will meet your need for love, for value. And so, you can't, if you ever make it into the ministry, you can't be pastoring everybody else, but not your wife. And by pastoring, I'm not talking about preaching, because there are some men, they think that's the answer. Woman, the Bible says, submit. Yeah, she'll kill you with that Bible. Stuff it down your throat. But caring for. So, Nehemiah was a wise leader. He understood that vision must be transmitted. Finally, let's talk about blessing the vision. When you're wise in transmitting the vision, God blesses it. Let me say to you, God doesn't need perfection. Okay, you don't need a perfect marriage. My marriage is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Sometimes I drive my wife crazy. And sometimes I think she would... Never mind. So, but on the other hand, you can have problems and be essentially happy. That's the basic. There are areas that need to be worked on and et cetera. But essentially, you can be happy. God used Moses and Zipporah, even though they had a few issues. I would say you have a few issues when the Bible says and God was waiting to kill you. You probably got a few problems. And yet somehow they're able to resolve that and go on in life. Okay, so if you have the... Some people then get condemned. Like, you know, Pastor, we fight sometime. And your point is? So there's... I don't know of anybody. If in your marriage you never argue, you never have words... there's never emotion involved in your marriage. You know, either one of you is a dominator, one of you is a doormat, or both of you are on drugs. That's not possible. So, perfection is not what God needs. But God gets involved when he sees wisdom and vision. We see that he opens doors supernaturally. That's what Nehemiah found. He overcomes opposition. That's what the book of Nehemiah records. And he blesses the work. Nehemiah 6:15-16.
So the walls was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all the enemies heard of it and all the nations around them saw these things, that they were disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God.
Okay, so here, supernatural speed, and the Bible says this work was done by God. God helped. But part of the reason why God helped was Nehemiah's approach to leadership. That is that he took people along with him in the vision. Okay, that should give us some food for thought. Questions? Casey. Well, these people didn't know Nehemiah as far as the book. I can't comment on their knowledge because they didn't know him. He just showed up. Yeah. Yeah, and that was the thing that Lisa saw, that saw the blessing of God overall. So that is a mark of a good woman. I mean, she is it is incredible. We moved fairly quickly in average terms, right? So I've been here 10 years, but in my first ministry, it was 18 months, 1 year, 2, 2, 2. For a number of years. So 5 times it was very, fairly rapid moves. And of those, 4 of those were international moves. So she's an incredibly good woman. And so that was good. And then it's a credit to her. She also is one to... She doesn't just shoot her mouth off either. She's a very good woman. She said years later, she didn't say it at the time, but when we went to South Africa, she was genuinely freaked out. We stayed in this funky little place. They don't have heating, you know. It was cold and damp. The weather was funky. There was just a lot of strange things that happened in the first week. You're reading all the crime and the horrible things, and then, of course, the white people are very helpful to tell you how you're all going to die, and they're going to rape you, and it's going to be terrible. And so Jenny freaked out, so she just kept her mouth shut because she hadn't heard from God that this was God, but waited, and then God spoke to her. God met with her. And so that's, but she didn't, in the meantime, what have you brought me into, you idiot? She didn't do that. I thank God for that.
Was there any point early in your marriage that she... Was, and you said she didn't say anything about the fears, but was she ever like really freaked out or kind of resistant?
No, she never resisted moves. She resisted me and the way that I treated her.
Okay.
All of these. So I'm telling you these things from personal experience. Okay, don't do these things. How do I know? Don't ask me how I know this. I know it. Okay, there's a scar. Yes. No, no, no. She never resisted moving, but definitely it took some years in ministry before I finally realized that I was making a mistake in my marriage.
Time and attention. That's
absolutely.
So, I guess for myself with the men's home, it's been kind of she can't exactly come and hang out and help at the men's home. So one of the biggest things that I told her is that I need you to pray for me and pray for these men. I mean, as far as her being involved in that, because I want her to be involved, but it's not like she can be involved in it. So is that the best I can do? Is it, I mean, like having her pray?
Well, as far as her involved, you know. Your wife may not be involved literally in what you're doing. You should, yes, involve her as far as I need you to pray. And there is something about your wife doesn't want you to be Superman all the time as well. So there is something about being honest. There's a balance, Nate, and that is that you have to balance being a whiner or a bad mouther about people or situations. It's destructive to come and go, this guy, this person, that guy, you know, they're irritating me. But there's something about being honest at times. I can tell you that wives overall saying, I am struggling, or this is very difficult for me. That's something that wives, most wives appreciate and respond to. So, yeah. On the other hand, you have to set aside, you know, people can make demands 24 hours a day. Right? They can. And so, you have to balance that out. There are times where I am spending time with my wife. And so if there's no blood involved, other people can wait. Right? And so that's a good message for my wife. Nope, I can't talk to you right now because I'm spending time with my wife. Or I don't have to expel it out. I can't right now. I can tomorrow. I can in 3 hours or something else. So this is time for you. Right? So the main thing is that men make a mistake. They do it with their jobs. They do it with their ministries. Is we give, and it's like we feel like our brains are sucked out. So when we come home, what we want to do is shut off. Right? But that's not what you can't do that. You have to then tune in to your wife and show her time. So the problem, gentlemen, is that every woman is different. Your wife is not like my wife. So there's going to be differences. I can give you generalities. You have to work out what is correct for you, and you'll have to work it out at certain times. But the main thing is you can, even while you're busy, your wife wants to know that she's on your mind. Right? So fortunately in this day and age, you have, most of you you're really good at texting. Even in the middle of doing something, you can send her some reminder that you're thinking of her. That's wisdom. You're on my mind. That's what a wife does not, she wants to feel that she's number one. So she doesn't want to feel that the ministry, other people, new converts, the band, everything is more important. Oh, it's you. So you don't want to feel that way. And she'll resent it. So you include her. And there's a lot of different ways. Time, attention, communication, calls, notes, cards, gifts. Those are just ways that you're on my mind. I value you. Yeah? Eli.
Have there been decisions or situations where you hear from God, but it's so important that you have to wait until your wife hears from God now that before you move forward?
Well, at some point, she's going to have to, she has to either hear from God, or she has to be willing to go along with what you've heard. So it's not necessary that she hears the exact same thing, but it is necessary that she's willing. So at some point, you've got to communicate it. Now, as I said, wisdom says there may be times if you have been battling with your wife and she is determined that you've been treating her like a jerk that week, probably today is not the day you want to announce that the Lord has revealed to you that you are to be a missionary overseas. Right? You probably should wait. Wait till a happier day. So, I mean, that's basic wisdom as well. Well, I believe number one is that we are, I don't know if you were here on Mother's Day, Tom Paine preached a profound sermon that actually is how I approach life. So number one is I do not believe that a home is child-centric. We don't build our lives around children. Children fit in with us. Children are very flexible. They will. And so obviously there are basic concerns about the children. We're going to send somebody overseas. Obviously, how are the kids going to be educated? That is a concern, right? There are some basic, some other basic factors. So, but if you raise children to where they do not have the message that everyone's life revolves around me, then they're more likely to flex with them. And I saw this, I saw him in South Africa. We had lots of different missionaries, and so I saw all different kinds of parenting styles and different things. And so there'd be people who are not flexible, don't make very flexible kids. People who build their lives around their kids, or they feel guilt. I don't operate well on guilt. So, they're missing out. If they were in the States, they could go to the prom. No, they couldn't. So they're having to be over here. So, so there are basic needs, but overall, if you're flexible, if you talk well, that's one of the things. It's a credit to my wife. There were things that could really freak you out in South Africa, but she never spoke those out. She never badmouthed. And so consequently, if you ask Emily, that would be her most fond memory of life would be in South Africa. She loved it. She hated leaving. So, that's, I don't know if that's answering the question. Somebody else. Solve all marriages just like that. I am a powerful guy. Okay, guys, you chew on this one. You pray over this one, because this one really will determine your future. So ask God to help you. And for some of you, step one is get a wife. Good.